Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and this study of Luke chapter 4 verses 40 through 44 titled, Jesus Saves, Delivers, and Heals. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, send those by email to BBFOhio@protonmail.com or mail your letter along with any check or money order contributions to support the BBF ministry at Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Donations can be also made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. We now begin our study of Luke 4, verses 40 through 44, titled, Jesus Saves, Delivers, and Heals. This is part 1 of 2.
Well, let's go ahead. Good thing is anybody who misses these can find them online at any time. But we are going to do a follow-up on our climate change propaganda and how, just as a demonstration of not only what the facts are, but also the fact that propaganda is like an onion.
It makes you cry?
Yes, it makes you cry. As you have to peel it to get the different layers of the onion. That's really what I was going after. But if it makes you cry, it's understandable. Last week, we pointed out the following, that in Australia, police were working on the premise that arson is to blame for much of the devastation. And a total of 183 people were arrested. This is just in Queensland, Victoria, I think it's province, in South Australia and Tasmania, for lighting bushfires over the last few months. And in response, this week, many others did the same, not because we did it, but I saw Paul Joseph Watson, Sean Hannity, Donald Trump on his Twitter account, and several others posted the same information that you saw here. And they were countered by liberal deception, and we'll use Vox as our example this morning, because Vox is a piece of garbage. It is run by liberals, and liberals lie. And if you know, I think everybody here is pretty much convinced of that. We've done about 100 of these current events updates documenting the lies of liberals. But anybody out there, if you choose to ignore that fact, you do so to your own detriment. You better watch it. Liberals lie. Doesn't mean conservatives don't lie, because conservatives are sinners. They have a sin nature. But the difference is that most of the time, if a conservative lies, it's either out of ignorance, or most times out of ignorance. And that's a shame. And that's another thing we're always telling you. Don't repeat things if it's not true. Do your homework before you, because otherwise it's gossip, it's slander, and conservatives shouldn't be guilty of that. But liberals lie on purpose. They are purposely, just like Nancy Pelosi stood up and said that Donald Trump said, quote, do me a favor, end quote. Look it up, folks. It's not what he said. He said, do us a favor. And he referred to our country. So it totally destroys their deceptive narrative for this whole impeachment thing. But in this case, Vox says the viral false claim that nearly 200 arsonists are behind the Australia fires explained. So what they're going to do is try to convince you that those of us who told you that there were nearly 200 people, actually there's more than 200 people arrested, 24 were charged with arson, aggravated arson. What about the other 183? You see, they're going to try to convince you that it was only 24 people arrested for arson. This is the fellow who wrote it. I have no idea if this is his real name, Umair Irfan. But he covers climate change. Before joining Vox, he was a reporter for a thing called Climate Wire, which is a environmentalist wacko organization. So you can see that this guy if you just do a little homework, you'll see his bias, his slant. Now, if you do a little research on Vox, this is from Media Bias Fact Check website, and they have plenty of bad things to say about some of the conservative sources. I think it's a pretty good representation. Look at where they have the little yellow dot at the bottom of that little slide there. That's where Vox lands. Factual reporting, right on the edge of low and very low. Why? Down in the corner, left bias. Now, in another place, it describes Vox as actually on Wikipedia and some of the others I found where they are open about it. They practice what they call explanatory journalism. They openly call it that. What that means is they're not reporting the news to you. They're explaining what you should think about it. That's not news, folks. That's editorial. They are editorializing and calling it news. So that's what you get with Vox, but that's what you're also getting with ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC. And I still tell you that Fox News, when you get it from them, you're getting it from people like Sean Hannity who tell you that that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
That they don't claim to be news.
Like on the right, you would say maybe like louder or prouder would be like
explanatory. No, because he tells you, I'm a comedian. You understand? He doesn't claim to be a journalist. And that's the difference is on the right, there are people who are totally right in the sense, with a totally right wing, I guess we'll call it. They tell you, that's what I am. And so you know what you're getting. But when you turn on Bret Baier, and Bill Hemmer, I'm telling you, I don't see anybody, even on the left, able to point out where they are giving you explanatory journalism. Even when they interview Bret Baier, he'll say, well, you know, this is my opinion, but I'm not an opinion person. I'm a news guy, but I think this or I think that. And it's hardly ever about left and right. It's about predicting what's about to happen. Like, when will Nancy Pelosi bring the articles of impeachment over? And Bret says, well, this is my opinion, but it's hardly ever a left-right thing. And you watch it carefully, you'll see that. I wish we could say that about the other news sources. I have no problem with somebody who says I'm a left winger, and here's what, like Bill Press, is one of them. He's a radio guy. You know you're getting left wing stuff from him, but he doesn't claim to be a journalist. So I have no problem with that. So anyway, they say in this article on Vox, a false claim that a big wave of arson is driving Australia's raging bonfires. So right there, they call it false without having told you why, has gone viral this week on social media. And then they named Donald Trump Jr., actually, is who it was. So there I need to correct it. It wasn't the president. It was Donald Trump Jr. and Sean Hannity were among the most prominent tweeters this week of the allegation that close to 200 people in Australia have been charged with arson for deliberately lighting brush fires. Wrong. False. That's a lie. No one said that over 200 or nearly 200 people were arrested for deliberately causing fires. They said that they were arresting close to 200 people for arson, including some who deliberately caused the fires. And that's true, as we'll show you. This is Vox continued. In many instances, the people promoting the arson narrative are doing so to refute climate change as a driver of the fires. With some conspiracy theorists, this is me, going as far as to blame environmentalists for deliberately starting fires. Now, let me explain it for liberals who are either liars or too stupid to understand this. If I start a fire right now on the carpet, it won't burn because the carpet has Scotchgard and fire retardant. It'll smoke and that's it. But if I put my Bible and a few books on there and light the fire, it will burn as long as there's books to burn right there.
Fuel.
That's why the environmentalists are to blame for California and Australia. They have passed laws that keep people from being able to clear out brush that would fuel the fire. Why? Because there might be a turtle or something in there that's endangered. That's what they say. They don't know that there's one there. They just say it might be there. So they have to save the turtles. And to do that, they then make California one big bonfire. And they made Australia one big bonfire. Well, then you add to that things like, lightning. Lightning has always started fires in the forest when it's dry. That's not climate change. That's been around since the beginning of human history. It takes a liberal to turn it into what it is now. Because fires have always been there, but they've not been this bad because there wasn't as much fuel to burn. And now because of environmentalist policies, there's more fuel to burn. And that's why the fires are lasting longer, spreading further, etc. They are claiming that the 200 people being charged weren't guilty of arson, only like 24. It's because they're playing word games like Satan in Genesis 3 and Luke 4, as we saw. Arson is defined in two ways. This is from the legal dictionary. This isn't Webster's. One is that the act of is down the bottom. The act of recklessly or intentionally, recklessly or intentionally setting fire to personal or real property for an unlawful reason. Or number two, the malicious burning of personal or real property with fraudulent or criminal intent. So arson could be just being reckless. And when it says for an unlawful reason, because you just don't care and you're in a hurry and you let the thing burn or whatever, that's still arson, according to the legal dictionary. And arson is broken down into aggravated arson and reckless arson. And so the 24 that have been arrested that Vox said was for arson, they were arrested for aggravated arson. The 183 others have been arrested for reckless arson. It's still arson. And so Vox lied. And don't tell me they didn't know better, because liberals lie. And we catch them at it all the time. Therefore, Vox's Umer IFAN's claim that the 183 arrests do not involve arson is fake news. Amen? So we're going to look at the last four verses of Luke chapter 4. Title this, Jesus Saves, Delivers, and Heals. And we're going to read these final verses. We're not going to actually close out our study of chapter 4 until next week, but because I didn't want to keep you for more than a normal allotted time, I'm holding off for the rest of the story in our next study. But we are going to read for context to the end. So let's pick up in verse 4 and ignore what it says up there. I'm just going to have you read all 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 verses. Beginning of verse 40. So that's, if you're there, go ahead and read with me. Now, when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. God's people say amen. But before jumping in, let's take just a few minutes here and look at what we've studied so far in Luke. In chapter 1, we gave you the intro in verses 1 to 4, and then we looked at the conception of John the Baptist, verses 5 through 25. We saw Gabriel's visit to Mary in verses 26 through 31. We talked about the coming kingdom in verses 30 through 33 as an introduction. By no means did we get exhaustive in that study. We did talk about the virgin birth in verses 34 and 35 and saw why that is necessary. It's a fundamental of the faith. Without the virgin birth, you don't have Christianity. Amen. Then we looked at the humility and example of Mary in verses 35 through 38, staying away from Mary worship, but not falling into the trap of a lot of people where we almost despise Mary because of the idolaters. We love Mary. Amen. Can't wait to meet her, but I'm never going to pray to her or worship her. Amen?
Amen?
And then we talked about John the fetus, because the word fetus means baby. Conservatives have been talked out of using that word And we shouldn't allow other people to control our language. And we covered that in verses 39 through 45. And then we looked at what the Catholics call the Magnificat. And we don't call it that. We just call it the Word of God. And Mary doth magnify the Lord as a wonderful passage, poetic and beautiful and Christ edifying and deifying and everything. Everything you can say about it, it's just great to read. And then we looked at the birth of John in verses 56 through 66. And he was in the womb filled with the Holy Ghost, which tells you that killing babies in the womb is murder. Among other things. And then we looked at the prophecy of Zacharias, verses 67 through 80. Now, a number of those studies, we had people contact us and say they'd never been taught that passage in their local church.
Wow.
And we want to remind you why. Because the purpose of the local church, according to the New Testament, is to take the books and letters and go through them verse by verse. That's how they did it in the local church, in the early church. Now, preachers have to prove how much they know, and they come up with a title and 4 points and punt. And it's hardly ever about the text. It's always an agenda-driven thing. Like, if I don't want you guys having beards, I'd be a hypocrite, but if that's what I didn't want, or maybe I think you should all grow beards, and then I go on a tangent about that. That's the kind of thing you get. But we're going verse by verse, and I say that just in case there's a new person watching, this may be totally strange to you, but think about how strange it is that Christians get together in local churches and don't read the entire book. They just, preachers pick and choose a verse here or there to start throwing around. It's, when I got saved, I just expected that you'd come to church and you'd open a book and read it, and the pastor would help, you know, would discuss it, and then maybe Q&A afterward, or not maybe during the service, but you could ask him questions later. And I found that about 1994 or 5, Mariah was just a little thing. And I was so excited to sit under a preacher like that. And then suddenly he switched to the New King James and started preaching Calvinism. So that was my one brush with enjoying that kind of teaching. But I was able to find people at that time, they would mail you cassettes. And so I'd listen to some expositors by cassette. That's how old I am. It was cassette because I used a pencil when I needed to fix it. So in Luke 2, the first five verses, we looked at why Bethlehem. And a lot of Christians never even considered why was he born in Bethlehem? And it's because it was necessary to fulfill prophecy. If he would have been born in New Jersey, he couldn't have been the Messiah. Or Rome, or Alexandria, or, you know, or New York, or name the town. It had to be Bethlehem. Then we looked at the country shepherds and heavenly hosts in verses 6 through 14. Jenny and I were just talking about this again this past week. If you read that and you think about what those shepherds experienced, it's an amazing thing. Then we looked at the shepherd evangelists. Those shepherds became the first people to go street preaching, verses 15 through 20. Then we looked at Jesus being born under Mosaic law. Again, put that up here. If you weren't here to listen or watch it, you need to. Because the only way for you to understand a lot of what goes on in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and what happened in really the beginning of Acts, was to understand that we're still under the Mosaic law system here. And so we studied that in verses 21 through 24. And then we looked at the testimony of Simeon, verses 25 through 35. I just enjoy the idea of the future of meeting Simeon. As well as there was one Anna, the prophetess, verses 36 through 38. I look forward to meeting Simeon and Anna. There's two of the many people in the Bible. You say, don't you want to meet all the people in the Bible? No, because some of them are in hell. I only want to meet the ones who went to heaven. Amen. Then we looked at the childhood of Jesus, verses 39 through 52, and one of the main things to urge you to ignore extra-biblical nonsense about the childhood of Jesus. There's books, the Gospel of Thomas, there's movies. I can't remember what the one is even called. I did a video on it. It's got tens of thousands of views, and about every once or twice a week I hear from somebody chewing me out because I tell people not to watch the movie because it's garbage. So then we went to Luke 3, and we saw the ministry of John the Baptist in verses 1 through 6. We'll have more to say about that later in a study. And fruits worthy of repentance, verses 7 through 14. You say you repented. We should be able to tell by looking.
Amen.
Holy Ghost and fire, verses 15 through 20, and how that fire isn't about speaking in tongues. Holy Ghost and fire was about literal fire at the second coming.
Amen.
Then the Trinity at Jesus' baptism, verses 21, 22, and unless you're online, you may not know this, but there's all kinds of people out there attacking the Trinity. And the Trinity is biblical, and we showed it there at the baptism of Jesus and also went into other information about that. And then we studied what's called genealogy jibe, and a bunch of people said, man, I've never studied that genealogy with anybody or a preacher or anything. It was great. And it isn't Greg, it's the Word. The genealogies have a lot of great stuff in them.
Amen.
I always tell everybody, read those genealogies.
Amen.
If you don't know how to pronounce the names, put on Alexander Scorby and read along and learn how to pronounce the names. That's all you do. Now, Luke chapter 4. We started with Satan versus Jesus, verses 1 through 13. That was the wilderness, temptation. After 40 days of fasting, then Jesus was tempted. And a lot of good information there, but that's where you see how Satan treats the Bible the way a liberal does. Then we saw Jesus announcing his divine call as Messiah in verses 14 through 21. And we looked at Isaiah 61. We're going to look at that again in a minute. Then we saw Jesus' ministry of offense in verses 22 through 30, where he offended people. And he was not necessarily want to offend people, but he was dealing with people who were dishonest. He was confronting them with their sin. And so that's where you and I fall in. We don't want to go around offending people just for no reason. But when you preach the truth, you will offend people. And then the fame of him, verses 31 through 37. That was very recent. I won't go into that. And our previous study was Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law, verses 38 through 39. Like when I try to call Cammie and I'm like, Mariah, Gloria, Cammie, whatever names in my head comes flying out of my mouth. But Peter was never a pope, and he was married and had a mother-in-law. Pretty simple stuff, but real good study. And then Jesus saves, delivers, and heals where we are in this study. And I don't know why I've got that in there twice. There we go. But that's 20 plus hours of Bible study in those four chapters. And I just want to challenge you. If you claim to want to learn the Bible, then you should be watching these studies.
Amen.
You say, well, you know, I'm watching somebody else. Well, if they're teaching verse by verse, more power to you. But if you're not going through the Bible verse by verse, you're not in the will of God. Did you hear me?
Amen.
This is a matter of fact. If you are not going verse by verse through the Bible, you are not in the will of God. Jesus said, it is God's will that you not live by bread only, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And if you're not going verse by verse, and you're just jumping around, don't blame your pastor. You can go home and read that book verse by verse.
Amen.
And you can do your own study, but we make it free of charge on the internet, free of charge on the radio, verse by verse. And I just urge you, because I'm telling you, whether you take it seriously or not, you are going to answer to Jesus Christ. You're going to answer for the fact that you had it at your fingertips, on the tip of your earlobe, free of charge, and chose rather to do something else. Whatever that is. I love you enough to tell you the truth. Amen. All right, so we pick up in verse 40 now. And it says, now when the sun was setting. And I love that. You ever just read and then stop sometimes and think about what it might have looked like? The sun is setting. Jesus is working into the sunset. He's not riding off in the sunset. But he's working into the sunset. This is just we have some of the most beautiful sunsets where we live. And that's just one. One of these days maybe I'll show you a slideshow of all the amazing sunsets. And you see that, and then you picture Jesus working. He's healing. He's praying with people. He's answering questions. I think he walked up to people and gave them a hug when they needed it.
Amen.
You know, whatever he was doing. And it's sunset. my favorite time of the day, to be honest with you. You know, I look at Olivia sitting down there. I've had this propane fire pit because I can't be around smoke. We've lived there now. This will be 4 years in September.
Wow.
And we still haven't really had Olivia out to sit by that fire at sunset the way I wanted to. She's kind of been busy having babies, you know, stuff like that. It's not her fault. But we planted a couple times, and the wind out there, man, when it unleashes, if it's chilly, it gets cold. So we've kind of been inclement weather's kept us from doing it too. I had Stephen and Mariah, I know, once at least out there by the fire. Yeah. And they're a little closer, I think, or anyway, but and Matt and Lori, I don't think they've been out there then at sunset either because of the kids being bedtime, you know. Do you enjoy the sunset the way I do?
Amen.
That's why I just think it's neat that it tells you, why is that information in the Bible? Now, when the sun was setting, I just think it's in there because I think it's kind of in us, should be, I believe, in us to really love sunrises and sunsets.
Amen.
I think that's Romans 1, right before your eyes. Jesus was buried in the tomb at sunset. Wasn't he?
Amen.
Rose before the first day of the week as the sun was rising.
Amen.
That's why I just think as a Christian, the Holy Spirit, with discernment, you see sunrises and sunsets. We were down in Virginia. I don't know if you remember this, but one time Mariah and I were just standing out there on Virginia Beach, and you see the sunrise because it's facing the sunrise, looking out the water. And there just happened to be a little bit of cloud, so when it's coming up, it gets that yellow, you know, an orange look to it as it's coming up. And just standing out there talking with Mariah about how that pictures the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I just get a lump in my throat when I see sunrises and sunsets. That's why I think it's in there. Now, when the sun was setting, it might seem like useless information, but I think there's a good reason for it to be there. Yeah, Jenny?
Do you think it could also be like maybe when people stopped working, if people got off the clock, so now they were able to bring them?
Only if they were Republicans. That's a joke. I'm just kidding. Because Democrats don't have jobs. They're all... No, but could be. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, because they didn't do much work at night. They couldn't set up the big lights on generators like they do. Now you see farmers out there right up to midnight some nights. They got the big, huge lights on their tractor, and they've got them on the sides of the property. And it's kind of scary. Once in a while, I drive out there, and I think there's something big's happened. And, oh, it's just the farmers. Aliens, yeah. That reminds me, it's like when these alien movies and they have all the lights on and there's a ship over there and a little, you know, comes out. I'm sorry, but, you know, that's what I think of, but it can be a little scary. So he goes on to describe what is Jesus doing at sunset. It says, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him. And that's what we do when we pray for people. When we pray, that's why we have prayer. Again, we don't say this to boast. We're not the only, show in town, so to speak. There are other churches who do things biblically. I'm not sure more than one or two within driving distance. We probably wouldn't exist if we'd known of one. But churches that teach the Bible verse by verse. Churches that pray. Meaning they actually pray, and they pray for certain things, not just a general prayer. Pray for a car. Pray about school. Pray about hours at work. Pray about issues at work. Pray about health issues. Pray about passing of people and families, you know, in mourning.